Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
We're talking about being called to ministry today.
Yeah. And our stories of how we were called to ministry and how shocking it was to each of us when we felt God knocking on the door.
I thought it was the wrong address.
Yeah.
You know when you get that telemarketing call and you're like, no.
Wrong
me.
Number.
Yeah. Wait, when did you know? Let's start with you, Letitia. When did you know
you were called? Mine is so complex. Happened? I don't even know if I got a call, guys.
Did you get an SMS?
A missed call, maybe? or my story is quite interesting because night and day from thinking that I would minister formally. You know, we all minister differently. The Lord calls us to ministry in different ways. Mm. But in terms of formal walking with someone or giving a word, I just never, ever saw it coming. I was quite the nerd. Yes, loved it. Braces, acne, glasses, the full nine. I used to make a joke about how, do you remember Michael Jackson's jackets when he would do those big concerts and they had like gold pieces on and they would like shine and blind you? That's how I would describe my jacket when I was in high school, because I had like 19 badges and like 12 scrolls, you know, because I was always so busy.
Badges and scrolls.
Badges and scrolls. I was always doing one thing after the other. Academics meant the world to me. So I kind of saw myself conventionally being absorbed into certain spaces in society. And my dream was a cubicle, basically. I just wanted to do well enough to own a cubicle in a good company and make a living. And then my life just got flipped on its head. So all my life, I've always had prophetic dreams. But because the world calls it déjà vu, but I'm going to have to correct it, it's déjà vu. It's déjà vu because I'm French, so I hate it. I always hate it when people say déjà vu. It's déjà vu, okay? Because I would have those kinds of dreams. I just thought like I was a déjà vu person. And anyone that knew me growing up, something would be going on and I'm like, oh my goodness, I've seen this. And then my little sister had a joke that I shouldn't make jokes about things because whenever I would say something, they would happen. And one time she actually pleaded with me and cried. She was like 12 and she was going to camp. And I said something like, oh, your bus's wheel is going to burst. You know how mean we are to our siblings. And she cried and she said, please don't say that because the things you say happen. And lo and behold, it happened.
Oh, wow.
The bus's wheel. Actually, they had to change the tire.
Oh, wow.
On their way to camp. I thought that everyone was like that.
Is this still ministry?
Maybe like I would foresee something and I would speak it as I'm seeing it in spirit.
Because now you pray against things.
Yes. Yeah. I would, even same back then. No, actually, you're right. I wouldn't pray against it. I would just see something and then say it and say, this and this is going to happen, or this such and such a person is going to pass on. At that point, I didn't know that it's revealed to be condemned a lot of the times, and it's not just revealed to be seen. Mm-hmm. But I kind of thought that everybody was like that. I thought that everybody was a dreamer and that we were just not talking about our dreams, because even I wasn't talking about my dreams. Mm-hmm. I would come to find out later in life that that's one of the biggest ways that God talks to me. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the relationship has grown and mature, so I can hear things, I can have a walking vision or whatever. But the main way ever since I was little was these prophetic dreams where you see future things, right? Mm. And so I kind of started taking it seriously around varsity. My first year of university, I was failing this class like nobody's business. I couldn't get this class right. And it was computer literacy. It was called SIL back then. Mm-hmm. And we were heading into the exams, the final exams in October, and the exam was 50% of the year's mark. And I was walking in with like a 40-something. So I had like 20-something% to walk into the exam with. And I was just freaking out thinking, God, how am I going to pass this exam? How am I going to do well? The night before my CIL exam, I saw the entire exam back to front. And I did so well in the exam. But in the exam, the Holy Spirit was right next to me telling me, this is how you do this. This is what you click on the word. This is. So when I woke up in the morning.
Am I the only one thinking like, this is not right? Like, Lord, what about us? What happened?
He's different with everybody. So I woke up thinking this was a good omen. You know the words that we use, the ones that mean deeper things? Yeah. I thought this is a good sign for the exam. I walk into the exam, babe, I kid you not, that exam was back to front, my dream.
Wow.
Every sum, every number. And so now I could hear the Holy Spirit saying, you know what to do, do what you did in your dream. I got 99% for that exam.
Wow.
And so the half of that gave me such a high mark. Wow. I was in the top percentages of the classroom, but that whole year, I didn't know what I was doing.
Wow.
So that's when I started saying, oh my goodness, God really, really talks to me. And during my university years, I had swayed from the Lord a lot. And one day I'm sleeping in my friend's bed and the sky bursts open and there's this incredible light. The best way I can explain it
is... Were you awake or asleep?
I don't know. I was asleep, but this thing was real because my friend was sitting studying for her exams.
Yeah.
And when this light broke open, the best way I can explain the light is it was on me, it was in me, it was me. Mm. It was love. You just wanted to be there. You didn't want to come back from there. Mm. And before I knew it, I was being pulled into this awesome light, but being pulled like from the belly. So my body's like bent like that. And as I'm going into this beautiful light, thinking I never want to come back from here, I hear a voice saying, this is what it feels like to walk with me. Come back, and poof, fall back into the bed. And it was like there was this incredible light and suddenly it was dark, 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 dark as day. And that's when I began to see physical manifestations of God in my life, opening doors, telling me not this friendship. And then I would do it by faith in the friendship and then see the breakthrough of God in my life. Wow. So it was around that time I asked the Lord, I said, I need a break from life because I've strayed so much from you. I need to figure out what am I doing? Am I even in the right degree? I was writing my final French exams or my second year French exams. And some lady walked in. There was an advert. They were picking 12 people in the country to live and work in France. And, you know, I knew from the spirit place, I knew they're going to pick me. But my marks weren't good because I was swaying so much from God. I had like a 60-something in French at that point. Can you imagine they're picking 12 people in the country? But I knew that was for me. So I called my parents and I said, listen, mom, dad, this lady came in today. They agreed. 3 weeks later, I get a call from the French consulate. Hey, you got the bursary. We're leaving in September. And I just knew that God was telling me, I don't know why they picked me because I was slacking off so much. And it was during my experience overseas. Now, if you're watching us from overseas, no offense, but please leave a comment on our social media about what I'm saying here, because I've heard it so many times. When I went overseas, you don't feel the presence of God. It is void. For me to feel the presence of God, I had to live in the church like a nun. You know, like the people who lived with me had this joke that I had a sugar daddy because I was in the choir. So I would practice on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and I'd be gone for so long that by the time I'm coming back, my neighbors are like, there's no way. Like, she's too young to be, she's too young to be that committed. And so because I had to stay with God that way, there were certain things that happened during my time in France, like praying for a husband, like praying for what to do next or what I was supposed to do with my life, that came through so strongly that I knew that there was a call on my life, but I wasn't sure that it was for people. I just knew that God spoke to me. But then, plot twist, I married a pastor. So when I now come back home.
Is that me?
Yeah, that's you. Just to be, that's him.
I'm making sure you know that.
So when I get back home, I get engaged to this guy. And again, it was one of those things where I know God told me. You know how dangerous it is to say God told me? Because so many times you can say God told me and it's actually just something you want. And that's a topic for another day. Yeah. But because I had gone through so many of these supernatural experiences, God was speaking to me in that way. In that way that I knew this is my husband. And he was nothing I wanted in the flesh. You know, we both had a list and we were nothing we wanted in the flesh. Mm. But there was a place from the spirit that I knew this is my husband. Now, I had this joke that I'm just here to be the wife. You're going to be the pastor. And I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to carry your Bible. I'm going to support you. But that's it. You give the prophetic words.
The one day there was a deliverance, and I'm like, Letitia, go lay hands.
I said, no, I'm not laying hands on nothing, you know. And so I just thought I'm here to support him. But it was during our engagement period where the Lord really started to speak to me about the oneness. And there's no way he's called and you're not called. And you're not called for him, you're called for me. And you've been called. That's why this can even work. And so it's during that process that, you know, the Lord kind of started talking to me about reaching out to his children. It was so difficult because nobody knew me like that in my context. You know, I'm a doctor's daughter, the nerdy one who never said anything, was always in the corner. And so when it was time to start ministering, I was shaking in my boots. I was like, who's going to take me? Since when does Letitia preach? Since when does Letitia give a word? So it was hard. It was hard to accept it. It was hard to walk in it, and it was hard to believe that God actually speaks to me for people.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's my journey with the call.
How did you deal? I mean, in Acts 25, it says there Moses thought that, or Acts 7, verse 25, let me get that right. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not.
Yeah.
How did you deal with being called and not necessarily seeing that the people who know you are seeing that you are called?
Yeah, it felt like being in this bubble where only you know that you're supposed to do this thing. And everyone else, rightfully so, they don't know you that way. Mm. So be it family, friends, siblings, everyone had to grow into seeing that, but has it really been seen? I don't know. But I think that I've grown to a place where I know what God wants me to do. And I think that's what's so interesting about the call, is it can be so scary to realize that no one else sees it. But the question is, do you see it? Do you know it? And do you understand that when God calls you, you have to answer? So some people got it, some people didn't. But what grew in me was the conviction for the call that I have to do this. And then when I would see God actually move, where he tells me to give a word, I give it and it actually happens, and I'm like, ah. And I would always reach Danny and be like, you will not believe. Do you remember when I got a word from someone I was in class with? I think it was our second year of marriage, and I told you, this is the word I got for this girl. I saw it in a vision. And you said to me, if you don't tell her, you're going to have to stand in front of God. I was like, what? Because I'm like going to him for comfort. Like, hey, I've seen this hectic thing.
I thought, hey,
you're the pastor.
This is so hectic. You better tell this person.
I'm like, you're the pastor. What do I do? I'm thinking he's going to comfort me. He's like, if you don't tell her, you're going to answer to God. So I'm like, okay, Jesus, what do I do? So I said, you know what, let me just send it to her. If it's nothing, it's nothing. And I can always blame it on Danny and say, you've met Danny, you know how he is. He told me to tell you this. To my shock, this person was in awe that God had given her, me, word for word or sight for sight, what was happening in her life. And so she was able to make a decision from there. That was one of my very first times, just being scared to say to someone, this is what I saw, this is what I feel the Lord saying for you. But every time God comes through, it builds that confidence. It edifies you in your walk to know that God is really saying this. But you have to try. You have to try.
And to think this is more than 8 years back.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's really, it's amazing that when people hear or see how God is using you now,
yeah,
they won't believe that there was a time when you doubted,
mm-hmm,
you know, or when you had a word and you thought, okay, I'm not going to give this word out.
Mm.
And I think this is so important for people who are listening, and maybe God's calling you and you're in a place of doubt. You're in a place where you don't think that you are the right person for the job or a certain, because I also think the world tells us or paints a picture of what the Mama Ruti is supposed to be, you know, what she looks like, what she sounds like.
Yeah.
Even though I think Letitia is the right Mama Ruti, you know, I don't think we grow up thinking, this is who I am, you know, or envisioning ourselves. Because also, if you think of the churches we come from, maybe the pastor's wife is wearing that puffy hat.
And you know, when you say the churches we come from, the church we went to when I was growing up, there was no pastor's wife.
Yes.
We had like deacons and priests.
So
there was no context for pastor's wife. So you can imagine.
Or female pastors.
Oh, don't even get me started there. I didn't even see a female priest. So I was terrified. And I had a lowliness as well, feeling like I'm not good enough for the call. God, don't you want someone more holy? Don't you want someone with less mistakes? Don't you want someone who actually does what you tell them to do? You know? And so I walked into our calling in ministry with such a lowliness. I felt like I didn't deserve it. And I would watch God work in my husband's life and think, sure, what would that be like? And how, you know, he would have all the answers. I wouldn't know what we have to do next. And I would just ask Danny and he would say, you know, I feel the Lord. I'm like, oh my goodness, I wish I had that. You know?
That's actually funny. So I would also want to say, especially for women that are called in ministry, it's so important that you don't only trust God, but you try, you know, like if he's telling you things, do it, because the boldness comes from seeing him come through, you know. And I think given you Moses, and I don't know, Moses keeps coming back. I believe with every plague, he got more confident. He knew, okay, the Lord has to have chosen me, because man, it's dark here. It's dark on their side, and it's not dark on this side, you know?
You know what's interesting is after the call became more known, where other men and women of God could see, hey, there's something about you. Because, you know, the anointing has its own aroma. It has its own visual in the spirit realm. And so more and more men and women of God would approach us, like random once. It was even in the mall, where someone will stop and say, there is a call on your life, and this is what the Lord has said to do, and this is where you must go, this is what you must do, which today I know what those things are. I started to look back on certain things that had happened to me as a way of confirmation. So one of the ways was actually Dad, when he was ill. So when my dad was ill, he became very spiritual. I don't know what that's about. I've never almost died, so I don't know. But it was like the closer he was getting to the end of his days, the more he was in tune with the spirit realm. And so one day I went to visit him at the hospital, and there was this huge commotion that, oh, Dad wants to see Letitia, Dad wants to see Letitia. Now, my father was a scientist, and we had very academic conversations. That's how we clicked. But on this day, my mom says to me, hey, your dad really wants to see you. And he had become very childlike in that season, where he would look at you like a child and he would talk to you like a child. And he ordered everyone to leave the room. And then he pulled me to his bed as if he was telling me a secret. And he said, listen, this is what I'm experiencing in my body. This is what I'm seeing in the spirit realm. What does it mean? And he had these big bug eyes. And it's like, you know, like when your child knows mommy has this answer. My father believed that I knew what was happening with him in the spirit realm. And I remembered being so perplexed and thinking, Dad, why on earth would you think I would have this in-depth spiritual knowledge? And so I told him I didn't know, even though I did. Today, I definitely knew what that was, but I was scared to tell him what I knew. And then he said to me, he said, Letitia, then call Danny. And I thought, huh? What do you mean call Danny? And he said, if you don't know what this is, Danny will know what this is. Call Danny. And so I called Danny and said, listen, Dad seems to think that you will know what's happening with him. Mm. So all these years later, when I think about those kinds of experiences, I almost wish I could wake him up and say, Dad, what did you see? Mm. Why did you suddenly start asking me about these spiritual? I mean, you're the father. So what did you see? So some of those experiences, you know, they start coming back to kind of confirm that it's always been there. It's and I guess if you're spirit-minded, during that time, he was very spirit-minded. Yeah. It was something that he could now see beyond the physical. That's why he thought I had all the answers to these amazing questions.
I'd like to also say to people, I think we've got maybe 2 minutes left, that being called is not what you think it will look like. You know, because we have an idea of what a minister is, what they look like, what they sound like, you know, how they were born, you know. And they are people. I've got a testimony, which I found out later, about how I was born, you know. Yet, God calls who he wants, how he wants, when he wants. And he could be calling you right now, you know. And you could be sitting there just feeling like, not me. Because of your past or your present or what you think is your future. Because we have it planned out, you know. You're a scientist. I was meant to be a lawyer. Why? Because I speak a lot, you know. And you plan out this whole thing and you don't see how can God use that for his good, you know. And we are here today to encourage you. And that's why we spoke. We let Letitia just speak and let you know that it's not like you wake up knowing, you know, but slowly the Lord confirms. And especially when you, the more you agree and allow him to use you, the more you see and you get confirmation in your walk.
And then next week, we will talk about Danny's journey and how he found out that he had a call to ministry. And maybe you can actually understand his version a little bit more than my own. But just know that the calling looks different. It's not the same for everybody. God is a unique God, and he can do the same thing a million different beautiful ways. Make sure you tune in next time to hear his side of the story.
Well, stay blessed. You are called. Trust God. Good day.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Van Billies.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103 to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Van Billies, you can just type in at the Van Billies and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Van Billy, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Van Billy. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.